I had a big putt on one to have the hole that kind of set the tone, I think, for the rest of the match. It was, I think, about 9 or 10 feet for par, and very easily, if I missed that, it kind of just hands him the keys to the match pretty much for the rest of the day and lets him dictate it. But I made that putt, and although I lost the next hole, I felt like I hit every shot the way I wanted to. The second shot just squirted right on me unexpectedly. And, you know, if I'm going to make a bogey, it's going to be with committed golf swings. And I wasn't so much disappointed. I mean, obviously, you don't like losing holes, but I was still pretty positive. And the putt on three was big to square the match. Made a really good birdie there. And I just felt like once I made that birdie on three and squared the match, I knew that I felt like I wasn't going to lose the match.
How long was
it? I would say it was about close to 20 feet, maybe just short of 20 feet.
Okay, let's. If you have a question, let's pass the microphone around. We want the transcriptionist to hear the question. So questions to begin with.
So you get to four up with six, five to play or six to play, was it?
I get four up with six to play.
And so when he got it down to two, what are you trying to do there? Are you just trying to play each to stay in the moment, or what was your thinking?
Well, it's match play, and it was actually a bit of an advantage to see him tee off. And for some reason, it's really not that difficult of a tee shot, 17, on paper. But for some reason, I hit it out to the right in that bunker quite a bit. And once he went right, I figured he probably wouldn't have a shot at the green. So I thought, I mean, I'm probably going to lay up. I don't have the length to get it there. And even if I did, like, it's an awkward shot because it's a back right pin. And I just wanted to make sure that I had an opportunity for a birdie and be able to put pressure on him. So I took a three wood instead and to keep it short of that bunker. And I felt like that would give me a chance to first hit and lay up and then basically send a message like, you're going to need birdie to win this hole because I'm not going to give it to you and you're not in a great spot right now. And I think it paid off because he had to hit a layup to the left and he had to go first. Granted, he did a great shot, but I mean, the pin is so difficult. So once I was two up, I just basically played smart golf, I guess, and played my opponent, and just everything was based off of what he did off that tee, and that drive right kind of dictated what I was going to do.
Any way to describe the feeling when the putt on 17 went in?
Man, I was just trying to feel my hands. I'm sure it was visible. I was trying to calm myself down. So many thoughts in your head are going at that moment. Because, I mean, in any match, to have that length of a putt to close it out is hard to do. But then all of a sudden you got these other thoughts in your head, like, you know, for me, it got a little bit of demons because, I mean, the pub links from 3 years ago. So I was just trying to make sure that, you know, I stayed calm and didn't look. The putt was, didn't make the putt more than what it was. It was an uphill 5.5 footer and it's right center. And if you, I told myself right before I stood up was, if you start it, I'm a spot picker. So I picked a spot and I said, if it starts on this line, it will go in. And so when I got over it, I was like, just start it over that thing. And then I hit the putt, looked up.
And then, your dad agreed on the spot?
Yeah, every time.
Can you talk a little bit about when you were much younger and getting going in the game, and you spent a lot more time practicing, I think, in the hitting cage that your father had put up in the backyard, and what it was like playing for you at that time?
Because you practiced a lot more than you played then, didn't you, when you were younger?
Yes. Well, when I first started the game, it was all about practicing. You know, I think my dad, I'm sure there was financial stress, but I think more than anything, he wanted me to make sure that, or he wanted to see if I actually really loved the game. And every day was like an iPhone game, right? Where you play like Flappy Bird or something and you get a score and you're trying to beat your high score. You're not worried about what anyone else is doing. If I beat my score from before, then I was happy with my day, regardless if I bogeyed the last hole or whatnot. And I think that made it fun. So by the time that I started playing in tournaments, it was more of a standard that I kept to myself other than against other people. But that time was a lot of fun. I don't think I had a full grasp of what golf was because I was practicing so much. I remember the first time I was on a golf course, I had no idea what the rules of golf was. I just knew how to hit the golf ball. And I was pretty good at hitting shots, but I didn't know things like I shouldn't step in people's lines or I need to rake the bunker, that I wasn't allowed to ground a club in a bunker. Didn't even know what a bunker was because I was on the driving range or in a cage all the time. So it was fun. It was fun to learn. And it was cool playing with other kids just for fun and not as a competition. And, you know, hearing that you're pretty good from a bunch of other kids and adults was a lot of fun. And, you know, I think, you know, when the going gets tough at this stage in a higher level of golf, you know, I always look back at those days and be like, remember why you're doing this, right? It's not a job. It's a privilege. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Can you, I'll relinquish this now, so I don't want to hog it. But can you talk a little bit about how much your father has meant to you through your golfing career? Because he's been your only coach, and he's obviously provided an enormous amount of guidance. And it must have been very meaningful today to have him on your back.
I'm not really sure if I can quantify in words what it means to me to be out there with him tomorrow. Because we've shared so many good moments and so many really difficult ones. As I mentioned in 2014, that night after was, I mean, I think I was okay, but I don't think the significance dawned on me what I just did in blowing a one-up lead on the 36th hole. But I mean, the difficult part was knowing that I could have walked down the fairways at Augusta with my father, and that was kind of basically taken away from me. That was difficult. And when that putt on 17 dropped, it was just like, that was the first thing that popped in my head. It was like, we're going to the Masters, likely, but I hope I'm going to the Masters.
Will he carry your bag in the Masters?
Yes.
Question behind you. Mr. Guard, Ron, and then Brentley.
Doug, you talked about the other day that 14 APL and that you've grown so much as a player in the last 3 years and played a lot of matches against really good players. Can you just talk about how in that match play setting, you know, the chip in you made on 8, the important par save on the 10th when it looked like you could lose that hole from the front of the green, what do you draw on experience-wise and emotionally when you're in a match, how you succeed so well?
I mean, in match play, because I feel like in match play, it's a lot easier to look at a shot for what it actually is. Because when you have a putt to have a hole, there's no uncertainty about it. It has to go in. And the fact is, it's whatever it is. I think on 10, it was like a 6 or 7 foot putt. It's a 6 or 7 foot putt that's breaking slightly to the left. I mean, of course, it's to have the hole, but like in stroke play, you're thinking, because in that particular pin, if you hit it firm and you power lip it out, it could go off the green again. But in this situation, it has to go in, like it, no doubt about it. And so it frees me up to go and look at it and say, well, what do I have here? I have a 7 foot putt and it must go in. So we're going to do just that. And if it doesn't go in, oh, well. I'm one up going into the next hole. And I think the more I've played matches, the more I've realized that, and the more I can separate what it means to what it actually is. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like trying to take any emotional or circumstantial pressure off the putt and just think about the putt itself. And I think that's why I've gotten a lot better. And in stroke play, that's difficult to do because you're not only thinking about the shot now, you're thinking about the one after. Because, like, yes, this might be a must-make, but, like, you also don't want to run this 4 feet by and have to put that stress on you again. But in match play, there is none of that. And I think it's easier just to walk up there and pull it off.
Thank you.
And just briefly, can you talk about the pitch in on eight for Eagle?
I mean, I was fortunate. I thought when I hit that three wood, because of the slope and how low I hit it, that it would be in the hazard. But when I saw it, I also got a really good lie, and I thought, I mean, obviously, depending on what Theo does, it's not very difficult, because the upslope, there was a couple of paces of green that actually was part of the upslope. In many cases out here, the Kukuya is the whole upslope, and then when the downslope starts, it's immediately green. So that's really difficult to judge, but when there's upslope that is part of the green, you know that it's going to kick forward and that it'll absorb some of the heat on it, but it still kick forward. But on Kukuya, it might just stick and come all the way back down. And so when I saw that, I had a lie that I could control the ball in. And obviously, Theo made it a little bit easier because he had, like, I think 10 feet for par. I thought, just hit your spot. Make sure you hit it hard enough to get it there. Because worst case scenario, it hit 30 feet by. And I hit it, and it hit just the spot I was looking at. And I knew it was going to have a good chance to be close. And I saw a kick on a good line, and then my dad was on the top of the hill. He just yelled, yes. And then there's a pretty loud roar. So it was pretty special.
Really good.
Doug, can you explain the decision to wear the Masters hat today? Was there a thought-out process? And secondly, how many times have you attended the Masters in the U.S. Open, and what's your biggest memory from one of those?
Well, it was I kind of organized it already to wear a Masters hat. I mean, sure, like, you could say that there was a little bit thinking about it for tomorrow, but or, like, what it meant to win, but it just matches black pants, and that's the best black hat I've got. And it's a pretty cool hat. but yeah, I didn't want to wear the Cubs hat because I wanted to earn my right to wear it. And, I'm pretty excited to wear it tomorrow. And as for the Masters, I've attended twice now. I've played the course three times with my school. That's pretty amazing. Thanks, Coach Fields. I remember the first time playing it, it was both a little bitter and both, I mean, obviously mostly really cool. I mean, to realize that you're doing things that, or you're getting to play a golf course that probably majority of people will never play. That was really cool to be seeing the history and seeing the clubhouse and everything. But when they take us to a tour to Crow's Nest, it was kind of like, okay, I don't really want to be in here, right? I walked to the practice round when we played the tournament at Augusta State, and I thought that was pretty cool, but I had to go later than the rest of my teammates that day because I had to take a government quiz online, and I remember heading out there with my assistant coach, JP, and I think one of the first groups we saw was, like, Rory, Spieth, and Byron Meth. And I remember stepping up there, it was the eighth tee, and I see Rory and I see Spieth, and I walk up and JP goes, oh no. And I was like, what? And I see two balls pretty far up there, and I see one ball pretty short, and I was like, that's kind of strange. And then I look, and the last name was Meth, and I was like, okay. And then I get to the range to avoid all that mess, and the first person I see walk onto the tee is Byron Meth, and the rest of my teammates are like, let's go have lunch. I mean, we got to get you away from this guy. And I could tell the moment I walked onto the premises, the rest of my teammates were being really careful. They were being really mindful about it, and I appreciated that. And especially Gavin came after, and he goes, you're going to be back here one day. Don't you worry about it.
I'd like to welcome Doc Robin, a one-up winner over Mark Lawrence in the semifinals of the 117th U.S. Amateur. The look on your face probably, it means a lot, I can tell. But when you're playing a tough match like that and then you win it on 18, tell us what you were thinking as you played that hole and how you approached the tee shot on 18 after he had scored the match.
I approached the tee shot the same as I always had. You know, I have a good target the whole week, and I stuck with that and just tried to hit, you know, the little fade that I hit down there, and I've been swinging great all day, so I had a lot of confidence in it and hit a great drive, and that second shot's really difficult downwind. That green seems to be probably the firmest green on the course. And I knew that if I could just get it to land, you know, anywhere near the hole, that it'd stop middle of the green and wouldn't be bad. And, you know, hit a good shot, just short, and, you know, he had a tough two-putt. And, you know, I thought he might make that second one. You know, it was straight up the hill, and he'd been putting really well, and just, you know, happened to go my way and won.
You're in the finals of the U.S. Amateur. What does that mean to you?
It's great. I'm so excited to be able to compete for, you know, the championship tomorrow, and especially after how I played in stroke play, which was just horrendous. I didn't think after I finished it I had any chance of moving on to match play. So I'm really happy to be here still, obviously.